This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The debate over vouchers is heating up on the national level with proposed legislation, the Scholarship for Kids Act of 2014, to give federal dollars to students opting out of public school. Some say school choice is the best way to help underserved communities to provide access to a quality education. Others say it's an attack on the public school system already underfunded and underappreciated. San Antonio Edgewood ISD participated in a trial 10-year voucher program, giving any student that wanted it the ability to go to any nearby private school. It was funded by the Children's Education Opportunity Fund. That program was examined by UTSA professor and editor of the Journal of School Choice, John Merrifield, and he joins us. Welcome to The Source, John.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Ron Zimmer, a Vanderbilt professor and co-editor of the special edition of the Economics of Education Review that looked at the history of charter schools in America. Welcome to The Source, Ron. Okay, so here we are talking about charter schools, always a big issue, but it seems we have a new election cycle and again being talked about, and we're hearing to talk about it in Washington, D.C. So let me ask you, John Merrifield over at UTSA, you looked at the Edgewood trial program, and what were the results? What did you see?
Property values rose in Edgewood because people wanted access to private schools because they thought that that would be best for their child. And the graduation rates rose both in the Edgewood schools and in the private schools, close to 100% in the private schools, simply because people do sort themselves out according to what they think will work for their child. And so the people that opted out of the Edgewood system, of course, they did better, and because they probably recognize what works for their child. And then with fewer unhappy folks left behind in the Edgewood schools, those schools prospered as well.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to add to the conversation, if you have a strong feeling one way or the other, if your child or you benefited from this Edgewood voucher program, call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us your questions or comments to thesource@tpr.org. So Ron Zimmer, you are Vanderbilt, Economics of Education Review. How does this enter into economics with voucher programs and charter schools?
Well, I mean, some of the original concepts of the school choice came from a famous economist named Milton Friedman, and he envisioned this concept of having vouchers where students could take money to any school, including private schools, and that would open up new opportunities for this child and potentially create competitive pressure on traditional public schools to improve because they're losing some of the students and the money. And so it is deeply rooted in economics in terms of its conception.
So school choice is the rallying cry. We hear that over and over again. So we assigned a certain amount of dollars to each student that's portable wherever they want to go. So they say, I don't want to go to the public ISD school, but there is a charter school down the street or there is a parochial school over there that appeals to me, and I should be able to apply those dollars to those campuses.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's the basic conception of what the vision is that families would have greater mobility and hopefully be able to match their needs based on their preferences and what's offered out there between charter schools or private schools or traditional public schools.
Yeah, I want to add to Ron's opening statement because, competition is a big deal and certainly was a big deal to Milton Friedman, but I think especially for the kinds of targeted and small amount school choice that we've had so far, a bigger deal than competition, which has been not so present, is product differentiation, which is another big economic deal, namely that certain schools can work well for some people and not work well for others because they differ in how they teach or in what themes they use to teach their basic subjects in. And then those differences work better for some children than others. And that's what we need through school choice, at least as much as entrepreneurship and competition is product differentiation. Schools to be different so that when there is school choice, there is meaningful choice.
And so Ron Zimmerman, react to that, please.
Yeah, I mean, the basic concept is that there would be a variety of different options out there, and so some students might learn in better settings than others. And so we want to offer that variety that you may not just get from a traditional public school system. I should note that there is lots of counter-arguments out there. There's worries about school segregation because of this. Would certain populations be more likely to use this than other populations? Would there be cream skimming of the best students from traditional public schools? And there's even been questions, you know, have all these programs been successful and so on? So it's not a uniform voice out there saying this is the way to go. There's lots of counter arguments out there as well.
So let's talk about cream skimming. So the smartest kids, the most motivated kids, they would leave the public school, and then they would likely go to a charter school that would, and so you're going to see better results at that charter school. And John Merrifield, is that what we saw in Edgewood?
No. Some people allege that, but people exercise school choice not because they think they're gifted and talented, although certainly some do, but because the school assigned to them is not working for them. It may be working for others, but not for them. In particular, in the area of charter schools, and probably Ron can fill in more details, they typically specialize in disadvantaged populations, not in the cream that someone alleges is being skimmed.
Yeah, but we've seen here in San Antonio and other places, charter schools not appealing to the disadvantaged, but also to the affluent.
Well, they appeal to everybody. That's the product differentiation point. They specialize in whatever they think they can get enough students for. Some will specialize in gifted and talented if they think there's enough of a population out there that was ready to exit their assigned school. But others will specialize in things that are particularly attract the disadvantaged children. In fact, there's a gentleman out there that alleges that segregation is resulting from people choosing charter schools because they are appealing to lower income populations.
Okay, and what about special needs students? Are they part of this program also?
They can be. Charter schools can specialize in whatever they want. Often they do not, simply because the dollars per child is typically lower in a charter school, and special needs children tend to be more expensive than the average child.
We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about charter schools and school choice. It's, again, part of the debate we're having in Texas and here in San Antonio, across the nation, about what's the future for public education. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email us your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. And with me in the studio to discuss all of this, we have Ron Zimmer, Vanderbilt professor, co-editor of the special edition of the Economics of Education Review. And also in the studio, we have John Merrifield. He is a UTSA professor and editor of the Journal of School Choice. This is The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Charter schools, Texas began allowing them in 1995. They were supposed to set educators free, and they did. They're paid with state funds, and they are these students in the schools. These campuses are released from local school district rules, and they are free to experiment and innovate and come up with new ways to deal with the issues of teaching. And many have been very successful, and there have been some have not been so successful in Texas. We want to hear about your charter school experiences here on The Source this afternoon. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking with John Merrifield. He is a UTSA professor and editor of the Journal of School Choice, and also Ron Zimmer. He is a Vanderbilt professor and a co-editor of the special edition of the Economics of Education Review. So, John Merrifield, we're talking about segregation being some people say that is a result of charter schools. So how does that work?
Yeah, it's really bizarre because, well, the word segregation implies force, and here we have people choosing to exit their assigned school for an alternative, and because the alternatives often cater to low-income and disadvantaged populations, and because of the correlation between that and race and ethnicity, they often find that a segregating result as a result of those choices to choose something better for their child offered by a charter school.
And we've been reading about sorting in society where groups are self-segregating and deciding that they're going to live in their particular areas, and that could be a part of this great sorting that
Well, people are sorting according to academics and what works best for their child, and in this case, it often happens to be correlated with their skin color or their national origin.
Okay, now let's go to the phones. The phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980. Mary has called in. Mary, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey there.
My comment is, I was just saying that I am a gifted and talented teacher, and there's one particular charter school in San Antonio that's recruiting my students. They're sending them letters and asking them to come and visit the campus, and the parents are taking their children out and actually enrolling them in the charter school. And they're not doing it with the other students. It's just the gifted and talented ones.
So that's the skimming of this cream that we've heard about, the cream of the class.
Well, there's certainly some charter schools that specialize in anything, and that's one of the things they can specialize in.
Thank you for that call, Mary. Appreciate your insight. So, Ron Zimmer, is this competition or is this poaching?
Both.
Well, we actually looked at this. We looked at individual data, and we looked at schools where students were exiting for charter schools and looked at their test scores relative to the rest of the population within that school. And we didn't find much difference in the average test score of the students leaving relative to everyone else in that school. So when we looked at this, we looked at it in seven different states, we didn't find much evidence of cream skimming. And we looked at their average test score relative to the student test scores of the district. It's usually below average students going to charter schools. And that's partially a function of where they locate. They generally locate in low-income areas, and so they often get students with low test scores.
Okay, let's get another caller in on this. Aaron has called in. Aaron, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was calling in because I do think you have to look at charter schools carefully, because not all charter schools are created equally. For example, you have KIPP that has opened up schools in various parts of different cities where there is a need, and the students are not being well served by their school district. But then you have other schools like BASIS that are typically targeting cream of the crop students in high-performing districts, and they're going after students that are not necessarily for what their charters were received for. My understanding is that Texas provides charters to these schools so that they can come into underserved areas and provide those families with a choice. However, if a system like BASIS is coming in and they're targeting students who are in wealthier served areas or highly performing areas, and they can say, you know, our students are doing great, but they're coming from these high performing areas already, and they're not opening up their schools in areas that are underserved. They're opening them up in the medical center or other areas that are actually not underserved areas, making it difficult for people who might want to go there to get their children there, to transport them. Excuse me. Okay. And also making it difficult for transparency to see where the funding comes from and goes to.
Okay, Aaron, thanks for those points. And Ron, so are those issues, of these schools not operating to serve the disadvantaged, but the affluent?
Well, I'm sure there's probably some cases of that there's some charter schools serving more affluent families and so on. My understanding of where nationwide, I don't really know the situation in San Antonio or Texas in general, but nationwide, charter schools are disproportionately locating in low-income areas, and the reason they're doing that is because in these areas there's a demand for something different, and so the charter schools are trying to fit that demand or fill that demand. So it certainly happens in some cases that charter schools are reaching out and trying to get the affluent, but I think disproportionately they actually have been reaching low-income areas.
So not all charter schools are created the same. They vary quite a bit. And there are some that do quite well. And you look at the not so good educators in Texas, that we've got some bringing up the rear. Texas has actually changed the law during the 2013 legislative session to strengthen closure rules. And we've seen 6 charter school campuses closed, being ordered to close in Texas, and their charters being taken away. So now there seems to be a tightening of standards. So I guess that would be a good thing.
It is a good thing. There should be a lifting of the cap on the number, too. That's the main thing we should have going, is better schools replacing lesser schools rather than the state having to close them.
Let's go back to the phones. Steve has called in. Steve, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good, Steve.
I was just wondering, the segregation of the charter schools and public schools, I think has a lot to do with the underlying issues with religion and what is being taught in the content of public schools. I know that in particular Christianity has been trying to get people to accept creationism in public schools, and they haven't been able to do that, be taught in public schools. However, if they can get in a charter school that does teach creationism, that preserves their religion, I believe that's what's really segregates the schools these days.
Okay, that's a good point. And there's been some reporting of that the largest charter school chain in the state of Texas, I think the Resolve Charters, they have been accused of that. So, Ron Zimmer, can you react to that?
Well, John might be able to say more on this since he's in Texas. I'm not aware of this particular case. I don't know if that's a systematic behavior of charter schools in general, that nationwide. I'm sure it happens in isolation, but I'm not sure if it's systematic. But John could probably say more about the Texas situation.
John?
Well, the big deal of religion is more on the voucher/scholarship front, where people choose a religious education when they have a voucher, because that severely reduces the out-of-pocket cost. There are some religion-based charter schools, although I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what states have them. I think the main issue with charter schools and the segregation notion is just the correlation between disadvantaged and race, ethnicity. Charters do disproportionately concentrate on those areas, although, as Aaron pointed out, there are certainly some charter schools that operate in higher income areas. Let me take a second to address that point. The main problem with the public school system is that one size doesn't fit all. So no matter where a charter school locates, they're going to find some demand. They're going to find demand from people for whom that one size doesn't fit their child. So wherever a charter school offers a differentiated product, including religion, that's different than what's offered in a traditional public school, they're going to find some kids that will believe that they will work better, will thrive in their charter school rather than the assigned public school.
Okay, back to the phones. Henry is called in. Henry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My son at Kent's Base is one of the charter schools you're talking about. My son didn't come from public school. He came from a private school, as many of the students here at Bases do.
Mm-hmm.
It's open enrollment to everyone. The problem is that it's a really high, there's very high standards. It's very difficult, and many students aren't prepared for it. A lot of them drop out. Filter out to the better students. But anyone can attend. They just have to apply. But it is very difficult, and it is very competitive. But, again, it's not stealing so-called stealing students from public schools. Many of the students here do come from private schools.
Henry, thank you for your call and your insight. Appreciate that. So he's talking about the best in the but schools. These charter schools have the ability to tell kids to, that's it, there is the door, go use it, which public schools don't have that option, John.
Well, they don't have that ability directly. They can counsel them out, or as Henry pointed out, they can make the schooling tough, and then people will leave, leaving only the better students behind. That's something easy for charters to do because they can't charge anything, and so in economics we call that price control. As a result, there's a long waiting list for most charter schools, and so they have no problem at all flunking out kids for their program. They can easily refill the seats from their wait list.
And Ron, do schools you know, with competition, are the public schools, we're seeing, are they raising their game as a reaction to what charter schools are doing in their own backyards?
There's been a bit mixed evidence on this. There's, I don't know, 7 to 10 studies now out there, and a couple of them have shown some positive effects from charter schools locating nearby, but many of them have shown no effect. And part of that challenge is you have to get enough market penetration with charter schools probably to get the traditional public schools really to react. And in many cases, there might only be one or two charter schools in a city, and so is that really going to cause a traditional public school to react? And many charter schools don't outperform a traditional public school, and in that case, maybe the traditional public school is not going to react either.
And we see that, you know, the what's the population? What's the percentage of students who are going to charter schools? Do we know?
It's about 2% nationally, I believe. Ron, is that about right? That's my
recollection.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah, there's about 6,000 charter schools now, and I think I don't remember the exact number, but it's about 2.5%, I think.
Yeah, and it's much more heavily concentrated in urban areas. In some places like New Orleans, it's 80%. In some other places like D.C., it's around 30%. So there are some isolated cases of enough threshold for some competition. If there were some other competitive conditions present, like price change and the possibility to make a profit.
But still, if you wanted to try and fix education or improve education in the United States, it's still a public school problem. Charter schools only being able to hit on, you know, in the single digits at the most, you know.
We're way below a threshold where they can pose much of a threat.
Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to continue the conversation about charter schools and vouchers and public education, and we go to the NPR news break, but we're going to say goodbye to our two guests we have now, John Murrayfield. He is the UTSA professor, editor of the Journal of School Choice, and Ron Zimmer, Vanderbilt professor and co-editor of the special edition of the Economics of Education Review. This is The Source. Thanks for listening to us. We'll be right back.